Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee kurup, guten tag, ciao, wee vee va cat bang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan, from the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary, industrial, core, poor nation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster, bankrupt, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy, of the United States of Listeria, food-born in the NRA, NSA, USA, home of Uncle Sam Manila, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, broadcasting now for 13 years, nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network, live Sundays from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Yes, as heard on the Air America Radio Network and CBS and Clear Channel radio stations around the country. Here we are today, again, live. And as you may have heard, AB 2140, the bill to ban captivity of orcas in California for entertainment purposes, had its first hearing in the California Assembly Water Parks and Wildlife Committee this past Tuesday. Now, of course, when issues of, you know, doing what's right, what's morally correct, come up against profit? Who wins? Okay, so the orca protection legislation, dead in the water, or at least left to drown for about a year and a half. So it now goes for revision after a process of further study. Now, this really makes one question the study habits of our California legislators. I mean, if this subject is so hard to grasp and they need over a year and a half to do the study, I mean, what do they need? A degree in cruel captivity? I mean, I really don't understand what it'll be other than in a year and a half they'll tell us again that we won't do anything at this time. You know, we need to study another year and a half. We're slow learners in the California legislature, which is very influenced by animal exploitation industries and hunters and fishing people. And so, you know, very frustrating, disappointing, shuts up a lot of people now for a year and a half, right? You know, I had friends who were animal rights activists, and they were all happy just saying, well, look how many legislators actually supported the bill, which, you know, big deal. So what? It's a bill that went down. We won't hear anything about it for another year and a half. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, maybe that might be, you know, the best thing to happen, because we might spend, you know, a couple of years, everybody getting active to support this legislation, and, you know, HSUS throwing big dinner parties and collecting tons of donations, you know, giving the impression that it has the plug to the bathtub that would release all the orcas. But it's frustrating when there's legislation, you know, because you know, anything can happen. Some judge in San Diego can say, you know, a trainer doing a backflip off of an orca's head is, you know, will lead to curing cancer in the future. Or the San Diego Police Department might not want to enforce the legislation and say, look, you know, we're too busy, you know, trying to master, you know, drones. You know, we don't have orca rescue equipment. So anyway, what can we do? What can we do? Of course, my solution is always to go vegan, and, you know, that way at least we'd be supporting the environment where some orcas still swim free, freely. And, you know, when you're eating fish, each fish was in captivity. You're eating a captive victim, right, who was either captive in a net or on a hook. and dying unnecessarily by the billions and the trillions. And human fish eaters are just depleting the oceans, depleting, affecting the orcas, the other 30,000 species of fish, as Americans eat 60 billion fish every year, 40 billion shellfish, and then, you know, billions of fish are fed to the fish on fish farms. Half the catch goes toward feeding animals on land, whom people then kill and eat. And then there's the fish oil craze depleting the ocean, and, you know, all of the collateral damage, all the other species who just get caught up in the nets because, you know, they're there. The dolphins, the sea turtles, all the others, just so that humans can eat fish. And, you know, fish, as we do, have a face and they suffer pain, which you know from blackfish. So maybe what you could do is go vegan. You know, it's something you can do. It's an action you can take, a meaningful action. You know, over the course of the past few weeks, I've been talking about a new study linking higher consumption of animal protein to premature death. And, you know, as soon as somebody hears I'm vegan, the question is, well, how do you get your protein? And if I hear that you eat animals or their secretions or, you know, excretions, I think I should just ask, how do you avoid your animal protein? How do you avoid your protein? You know, I mean, there's plenty of protein in vegan food. You know, I also mentioned that those suffering premature death had elevated levels of insulin growth factor, or IGF, in their blood. And I've mentioned insulin growth factor over the years as what causes baby cows to grow really big, really fast. And as this study seems to suggest, I've been correct in blaming insulin growth factor for growing tumors in people really big, really fast. So by now, the year 2014, we should be getting the impression that consumption of animal products, flesh, skeletal muscle, and the secretions and the discharges leads to disease and premature death. Professor T. Colin Campbell of the China Study blames at least 90% of fatal degenerative disease on consumption of animal protein, and not much of it. And, you know, I'm going to be speaking at Earth Day San Francisco this coming Saturday, 2:45 p.m. in the Speaker Dome. And if I were to say to all the environmentalists that I am coming to the stage, and here, everyone, I am bringing to the stage the number one carcinogen to which Americans are exposed. Well, everyone in the audience would run to put on a hazmat suit, right? And well, you don't really need a full suit, actually. Just a mask over your mouth when dairy approaches it. You know, that will protect you from the number one carcinogen to which Americans are most exposed. And you don't need to get your protein from dairy or meat, so-called meat, fish, or eggs. You know, in fact, again, if you do eat those, I ask you, please, how do you avoid your protein? Look, I mean, tomatoes are 18% protein, cabbage 22%, green peppers 22%, cucumbers 24% protein, parsley 34%, mushrooms 38%, cauliflower 40%, broccoli 45%, kale 45%, spinach 49% protein. One cup of tempeh, 31 grams of protein. Lentils, 18 grams. Black beans, 15 grams. And quinoa, 9 grams. And so that one cup of quinoa at 9 grams, well, if you have a 3.5-ounce serving of fish as you deplete the oceans and the home of blackfish and the orcas, that's only 6 grams of protein. But then again, maybe you want to have the lesser protein, since animal protein is so deadly. An 8-ounce glass of cow's milk, 8 grams of protein, less than that cup of quinoa or the black beans, the lentils, the tempeh. Let's see, an ounce of cheese, 6 to 10 grams, a cup of yogurt, 8 to 12 grams. So it looks like the beans, the lentils, the tempeh, the quinoa, have them all beat. Based on a 100-gram serving, or about 3.5 ounces, hard-boiled egg, 12.5 grams of protein. You get more of that from soybeans, 13.1 grams, zero cholesterol. I think those are the cooked soybeans. But anyway, you also get 424 milligrams of cholesterol along with that. No cholesterol in the soybeans. That tomato I talked about, you know, you get 14.1 grams of protein. Almonds, walnuts, cashews, all over 15 grams. Tofu, 16 grams. Oats, 16 grams. Sesame seeds are up to 17. And tempeh, 18. Chickpeas, 19, so plenty of protein there. Flax seeds, 19 grams of protein in that serving, and pistachio nuts, pinto beans, about 20. So kidney beans and salmon have about the same amount of protein, 25 grams, but the salmon has 85 milligrams of cholesterol. And halibut and peanuts, same thing, around 26 grams. But why would you choose the 41 milligrams of cholesterol and probably, you know, the heavy metals, the PCBs, all of that, the mercury that goes with your fish? Lentils, 28 grams, more than ground beef at 24. And the ground beef has 90 milligrams of cholesterol. No cholesterol in any of these vegan foods. Lentils, same amount of protein in the serving as lamb. Dead lamb, decomposing lamb, with its, or with her, 89 milligrams of cholesterol in her body part. Let's see, turkey, almost 29 grams, chicken at almost 30, pork at 31. How do you avoid your protein? This is a lot of protein, huh? Pork has 96 milligrams of cholesterol. But at the top would be the soybean, the raw mature seed soybean, at 36. So the word is out. Animal protein seems to lead to early death. And now from the Journal of Epidemiology and Community Health, epidemiology and community health research that seems to be saying you may be able to prevent early death by increasing your intake of fruits and vegetables. Okay. Well, I will finish up with this concept after the break. Okay. Animal protein leads to premature death. Fruits and vegetables, longer life. Okay, we'll continue with that thought. Coming up on today's program, we have Wayne Shun of Direct Action Everywhere, also Felicia Beza and Lisa Soldovani. We are going to talk to grassroots activists about their grassroots activism, also animal rights commentary with Professor... Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. On Twitter, at GoVeganRadio. Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And there are a couple of Bob Linden pages that you can find on Facebook also. Remember, I do commentaries on KPFA in the Bay Area, the Pacifica station, Wednesdays in the 8 a.m. hour. And as I mentioned, I'm speaking at Earth Day San Francisco this coming Saturday, 2:45 at the Speaker Dome. And the subject of my talk is meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption, humans' most environmentally destructive behavior, and why going vegan is the solution to climate change. And very excited about making that presentation to the environmentalists. I get so frustrated. I watch Democracy Now! Every day, and I see the movement to divest, all these symbolic movements that, you know, aren't going to accomplish, like saving the planet, which we need to do by going vegan, saving your life by going vegan too. Okay, before the break, I mentioned that we've been talking about some studies over the past few weeks that indicate that animal protein, the greater amount of animal protein, the greater the risk for premature death. And now from the Journal of Epidemiology and Community Health Research seems to be saying you may be able to prevent early death by increasing your intake of fruits and vegetables. This was a 7-year study of over 65,000 people over the age of 35. Those consuming 7 or more servings of fruits and vegetables daily had a 42% lower risk of dying from any cause than those who ate the fewest fruits and vegetables. Also in the study, high fruit and vegetable consumption appears to decrease the risk of death from cancer by 25% and heart disease by 31%. So you can get your fruits and vegetables from Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga. Organic, also veganic choices there, and the new location in Santa Monica on Ocean Park and 28th. VivaLaVeganGrocery.com. And if you're not fortunate enough, I hear from a lot of people who say, we wish we had a vegan grocery store or even a vegan restaurant nearby. Well, if that's your challenge, you can have great meals delivered right to your home, wherever you are, your home or office, wherever you are in the USA, from Greenlight Meals. You can go to the website greenlightmeals.com, GreenLite meals.com, and this is here's the food. You know all the reasons, right? For the animals, your health, the environment. And who knew that, doing your social justice responsibility would be so delicious, right? But you can check out the menu at greenlightmeals.com. You have your breakfast choices, including tofu scramble, breakfast burritos, banana, walnut pancakes, Cinnabon, oatmeal, and many other choices. You have entrees from chipotle, falafel with sweet potato burrito, baked bean and veggie chili, tofu fritters with hot peppers, relish, and root vegetable soup and lentil soup and stuffed peppers, even vegan barbecue chicken, beefless stew, and buffalo cauliflower. For snacks, from jerky to trail mix to peanut butter cups and a lot more, and the kids really will like the chickpea tenders with dipping sauce or mac and trees. And you can even get your smoothies delivered. Okay, so again, it's greenlightmeals.com, GreenLite meals.com. And Melissa Bray works with Greenlight Meals as a nutrition and fitness consultant. And check it out, and maybe you can get some help from her on what you need to be doing to reach your goals. Okay, so coming up on today's program, we will be talking to Wayne Shun of Direct Action Everywhere. We'll be following up on the campaign against Chipotle, and Felicia Beza, also a grassroots activist, and Linda Soldovini will be talking to us. Linda, who's with the campaign against that reopened slaughterhouse in Petaluma. Remember, we thought we were doing okay with that, but just reopened last week, and talk to Linda about that. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Support the program with a tax-deductible donation. Click donate at goveganradio.com. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network, and on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden on Facebook. I should present a disclaimer that the commercial announcements that you hear during the show are often network commercials and don't necessarily mean that Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden endorses them. something that I do endorse. In fact, I'm working on organizing that's really important. And your financial support is really needed immediately to make an event of global significance happen. Our advocacy and activism really have to be focused on motivating as many people as possible to go vegan as quickly as possible. So right now I need to raise $7,500 for a venue deposit, and this is a grassroots effort, so if you can donate $1, $5, $10, or up to $7,500, that would really be helpful if you were to go to worldvegansummit.com/donate, worldvegansummit.com/donate, and, if we got all of Gary Francione's followers on Facebook, all 50,000 of them, donate 25 cents or 50 cents or a dollar. We'll talk to Gary about that coming up, but we're looking to secure the Marina Del Rey Marriott to host this gathering that's a real call to action for animals, people, and the planet. And scheduled to appear, or people who have agreed, if we get it together, to appear include, Professor Gary Francione and Will Tuttle, Antenna Roba, Milton Mills, Vaidya Priyanka, Richard Openlander, Wayne Shun, and Bob Linden, we'll be announcing others too. But we really have to reject the current trends toward so-called humane and sustainable meat and partnerships with industries that exploit animals, and instead advance the cause of abolition to bring an end to the use of animals for food, clothing, entertainment, and experimentation. So we're looking at putting this together. You can help it happen. The World Vegan Summit and Expo, we're planning it for March 20, 21, 22 of 2015 in the Los Angeles area. So please spread the word. And, want to thank a few people, Cindy K, people who are donating already, and people who are donating anywhere from $3 to $100 to more. Cindy K of Portland, Richard P, Rockville, Maryland, Martha B of Tucson, Mark G of Aurora, Illinois, Sandy W, Seal Beach, California, David S of Toronto. Well, thank you all. I don't know if anybody wanted his or her last name announced. There are some more. Maybe we'll get to those names a little later in the program. But I just heard the name Wayne Shun mentioned on that list of notable speakers. And Wayne is back with us here today. He's an organizer for Direct Action Everywhere and creating quite a stir with the Chipotle campaign. He's even getting Chipotle to shut down, so it's really quite amazing. It's been covered in Salon. So how are you today, Wayne?
I'm great, Bob. And we've been incredibly gratified to see the response you've gotten both within the Animal Rights Movement and in the press, but even more important by the response you've seen in the company. So hopefully we're going to continue with this campaign and continue fighting for the animals and show what you've been trying to tell people for the past, for years, which is that there is no such thing as humane meat, that killing is inherently a violent act. So.
Mm-hmm. So update us. People may just be hearing about a campaign against Chipotle for the first time right now. So tell us how it started and where it's gone.
Absolutely. So the campaign is actually called It's Not Food, It's Violence. And while Chipotle is the focus of the campaign, there have been solidarity demonstrations all over the world at other restaurants, including McDonald's, KFC, and any company that's trying to convince the public that eating meat is good, it's healthy, it's ethical, it's sustainable. And the reason we're focusing on Chipotle in the United States is because they're leaders in what we're describing as humane washing. I'm sure all of your listeners have heard of whitewashing, a corporation trying to disguise terrible things and turn them into good things. And Chipotle is a master of doing exactly that. Their corporate motto is food with integrity. Their CEO has gone to the public and told them that he'll run his business in a way that will never exploit animals. And they routinely talk about how they unconditionally love the animals that they kill on a scale of tens of millions every year to serve corporate profits. So our campaign started about 6 months ago. We've had 29 cities in 9 different countries participate. We've got national press coverage. And as you said, just a few weeks ago, the largest Chipotle in the city of San Francisco shut down in anticipation of our protest, because they recognize that there is a threat here, that if we can tarnish their brand and show the public that they don't actually love animals, that their animals are not actually happy and as they're being lined up into the slaughterhouse, and that there is no such thing as humane meat. It's going to cut into their corporate profits, and that's a danger to them. So they shut down their company or their restaurant.
I've never heard that happen. Now, some years ago, we were doing a protest at Wolfgang Puck's restaurant in Beverly Hills, and the restaurant appealed to the city to actually close down the sidewalk during the protest, mm-hmm. which was unconstitutional. It was found, you know, so there was something that happened in court later said, you know, you can't do that. Plus, they were endangering the public. People were having to walk in, you know, in the middle of the street with traffic and all. You know, it was crazy. And so, you know, that didn't make sense and it was unconstitutional. But how did this happen? That what do you think? What, they just didn't want? What I mean, I'm shocked.
It was a shocker to me too. I'm shocked too. I'm like 15 years of activism. I've never seen something like this happen.
So why don't we promise a protest every day from, you know, noon to nine every day, and that should take care of all of these slashed food restaurants or something.
Sure.
Know?
So I'll say two things. The first thing is, I think the reason it happened is because DXC, Direct Action Everywhere, has always taken a very creative and kind of aggressive, assertive approach to activism. Many of our demonstrations go into the store. We use creative tactics and social media to spread our message far beyond just the 50 to 100 customers or passersby outside the street. So our YouTube videos are routinely viewed by thousands of people around the country and the world. So the damage that's done to Chipotle by one of our demonstrations extends far beyond just the immediate vicinity to the people on the web, all over the world, and all over the country. The second thing is, I think one of the reasons they shut down the Chipotle, and this is a little bit surprising, but it makes a lot of sense in retrospect, is that the World Expo, which is a very large Apple Expo, was happening right next door. And you might think, well, isn't this the worst time to shut down your company? Because, you know, you want all these customers who are going to the McWorld Expo to come to Chipotle. But in fact, I mean, I think they're probably worried about the social media consequences of having, you know, 100 or 200 customers inside the restaurant. If we went inside, we did this creative demonstration, and all of them were tweeting and Facebooking and posting on Tumblr about this protest that they have faced. So I think they made the strategic decision that there are greater PR consequences to opening the restaurant than facing the possible consequences of a demonstration, so they just shut it down. But I also think it shows that the humane myth, while alive and well and still very strong in the American public, is vulnerable. That if we go to these places of violence, if we go to the Whole Foods, if we go to the Chipotle's of the world and tell the public that what's happening to animals is unacceptable, and that killing, not just confinement and abuse that's happening in factory farms, but even just killing, is inherently an immoral act, that there's a lot of resonance to that message. And I think this protest and Chipotle's response to this protest shows that.
Hmm. And you were covered in Salon also.
We were. So we're gratified to see national press coverage. And, you know, our campaign has been, like a lot of the work that you've done, Bob, very controversial within the animal rights movement. But I've been surprised to see how often ordinary people, especially people who are press savvy, instantly understand the strategy behind this campaign. They understand the strategy behind targeting a company that is claiming to be the best company, but in fact is one of the worst. I mean, Chipotle is a company that talks about how it loves animals while killing tens of millions of animals every year. Chipotle is a company that talks about how it cares for animals when, in fact, when it switched to a supposedly humane pork supplier, doubled their sales of pork. Doubled. 100% increase. And Chipotle is a company, notwithstanding the fact they talk about food of integrity, has grown by 1,000% over the past 5 years and is now the third largest publicly traded restaurant company in the world and one of the biggest animal companies. If you're concerned about animal welfare, if you're concerned about animal rights, if you're concerned about making the world a better place, Chipotle is not where you should be, and yet they've convinced the world that they're a good company, and that's what we're trying to change with this campaign.
Yeah, even some vegans seem to want to go there, and I know that it seems like some have jumped on the bandwagon, like Mercy for Animals seems to be supportive that Chipotle has some sort of vegan option available there. But, you know, if you're going to take your money and buy vegan food in a restaurant, go to your nearby vegan restaurant, the people who are, you know, really doing the good in the world, instead of, you know, then you're kind of giving in to your, you know, your flesh-eating friends. Okay, we have a place we can compromise. You can all eat your flesh, and I'll have my beans here.
And that's in fact one of Chipotle's marketing slogans, vegans and carnivores unite. And while it sounds beautiful, and it might sound beautiful to some people, the reality is, even at the stores where they introduced a vegan option, less than 3% of the sales were vegan items. And nationwide, less than 1.2% of total sales. So in terms of where your dollars are going to when you give money to a company like Chipotle, 98.8% of that money is going to be going towards pro-meat propaganda. And there's no company in the world investing more money in promoting meat. I mean, we talk about a company that has a documentary called American Meat that's putting billboards up in San Francisco that just say meat, 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 that talks about how eating meat and killing animals is essential to the sustainability of human civilization. I mean, this is a very problematic company if you're trying to change public norms and attitudes and behaviors with respect to killing and eating animals. And I think it's why this campaign is so important, why we've been gratified to see such a positive response by activists, not just in the United States, but now in 9 different countries all over the world.
Mm. Vegans and carnivores could unite if the carnivores go vegan. And they're not carnivores.
Right.
They're not carnivores. They're herbivores who are, you know, mistakenly eating flesh, and they will pay the consequences for it, you know. But isn't it's amazing how being vegan is so cool that they'll say, hey, vegans and carnivores unite. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, we want a part of the vegan action also. But sorry, you got to do the work. And it's like, No animal products. So what do you have coming up with the campaign? Anything coming up in the near future?
Sure, yeah, actually we have our next day of action, which is coming up this weekend. And it's actually a good segue with what you were just saying, because the problem with this notion that vegans and carnivores can unite is that there's another story and another perspective that needs to be offered, and that's the story and perspective of the animal. And so our next day of action, which is on April 19th, the theme of the action is Gone But Not Forgotten. And the idea is, well, the animals have disappeared from the landscape and are no longer being talked about in kind of a real and transparent way. The fact is that every bite of a burrito, every bite of carnitas at Chipotle was a product of violence against one individual living, breathing, sentient being who did not want to die. And when we recognize that, at least I think even ordinary members of the public recognize that, they're shocked and horrified. So what we need to do is get that story, inject that story back into the picture.
All right, stay with us, Wayne. We're talking to Wayne Shun of Direct Action Everywhere, who will be joined by Felicia Beza and Lisa Soldovani coming up next hour, along with Gary Francione. With Bob Linden. Programs archived at goveganradio.com, where you also find the archives for my KPFA commentary, which is heard weekly in the 8 a.m. hour in the San Francisco Bay Area 94.1, also kpfa.org. And just before the break, oh, and by the way, if you'd like to become a sponsor of the program and advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services, it would help right about now, because we need to gather all the money that we can to produce the World Vegan Summit and Expo. And if you'd like to donate to that, the website is worldvegansummit.com/donate. And before the break, we were talking to Wayne Shun from Direct Action Everywhere and the campaign which targets Chipotle. It's not food, it's violence. And it looks like while I'm talking at Earth Day San Francisco at 2:45 at the Speaker Dome on Saturday, you'll be in the midst of your campaign with It's Not Food, It's Violence.
Yeah. That's right. You know, like I said, we'll be continuing on with our next demonstration, Gone But Not Forgotten. We'll be having these large images of animals from places of violence, and with the message that they will not be forgotten, and kind of sharing the stories of the animals from the animals' perspective. And again, I think when ordinary people, even ordinary people, are shown these images, and when we talk to them in a real and genuine way about what's happening to these animals and ask them whether they want to be part of a system that's exploiting these animals, routinely we see them respond that they would not. They don't want to see these things happen to animals. And as long as we can push people to reconcile their behaviors with their basic intuition and their basic beliefs about animals, we can have a lot of success in this movement.
So how can people join you next Saturday, this coming Saturday, and in the future?
So there are two great resources that we use. One is the website, directactioneverywhere.com, and the other is our Facebook page, facebook.com/directactioneverywhere. We highly encourage people to start their own chapters of Direct Action Everywhere. We have 6 different chapters all over the country, and more chapters are popping up every week and month. And even if you're not going to start a chapter, even just joining us for a day of action, leafleting at a local Chipotle or a local McDonald's with the message, it's not food, it's violence, is an incredibly impactful and effective way to advocate for animals. Because when you participate in one of our campaigns, one of our days of action, you're working not just on behalf of yourself, not just on behalf of kind of your local city, but you're part of a broader network that's inspiring people to take action all over the world.
Hmm. And, you know, I've seen videos of some of your actions, and actually they bring me to tears. I'm so moved by them that people are so dedicated. Yeah. And, you know, people have to come out of their comfort zones to speak up. It's not necessarily easy, but, you know, it needs to be done. And we have someone who participates in your actions, Felicia Beza, who really, you know, one of the people who cares and has decided to take action, a student at Evergreen Valley College in San Jose. And so, Felicia, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Bob?
Terrific. So I'm interested in, you know, grassroots activism, how one evolves into, let's look at your story. You're involved now with Direct Action Everywhere in this campaign, but how did you come to this place? And I believe I'm in this story, and since it's about me, well, take your time talking.
No problem, Bob. I definitely attribute my decision to go vegan because of your talk. I saw you back in, I think it was the last weekend of September 2013 at the SF Veg Fest, and you were speaking, and me and my boyfriend attended, and I was unsure of, is there humane meat? Because I had heard that, but I had no education about, you know, any of it. So I kind of was looking for answers and looking for the information. And when I heard you speak, you were very clear on, you know, go vegan. There's no other way. It's like you said it so that, I don't know, your words just were so clear. I understood your message. It was like a light bulb went off in my head. Like I had never heard the information in the way that you put, you know, things so bluntly, which for me was perfect, because that's what I was looking for. I grew up and everybody, you know, I always loved animals, but no one, you know, nobody talked about how they were treated and how, you know, killing them for us to eat when we don't even need to. You know,
Felicia,
no one mentioned that.
We need to take a break. We'll continue with you after the break. And we also have Lisa Soldovini coming up on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com. Stay with us. Greetings once again, and welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Yes, we have expanded to 2 hours since joining the Genesis Communications Network for national syndication. We're live Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific time. You can also click Listen Live at GoVeganRadio.com, and there are hundreds of archives there. And you can click Donate and support this program. We're starting our campaign where we need to raise a significant amount of money to put together an event, the World Vegan Summit and Expo. I'll talk a little more about that later this hour. The World Laboratory Animal Liberation Week is coming April 19th through the 27th. So for events in your area and to get involved, visit the website of Stop Animal Exploitation Now. That's saneonline.org, S-A-E-N online.org. Before the break, we were talking to Wayne Shun of Direct Action Everywhere. Today we're talking to grassroots activists who are taking action independent of some of the larger groups who seem somewhat misdirected these days in the campaigns that they embrace. Coming up will be Lisa Soldovini, and a little later this hour, Animal Rights Commentary with Professor Gary Francione. So before the break, we were talking to Felicia Beza. And earlier this week, when I was talking to Wayne Shun about coming on the show, he mentioned that you had been participating in Direct Action Everywhere Action and mentioned that you went vegan because of me, that I... I love that. I love that about me. I love me for that. You and your boyfriend went vegan from listening to me at the World Veg Festival, which I think I'm calling the World Veg Festival from now on. I don't know. But my talk was an hour and a half. I was just wondering if there was anything specific that was convincing to you so that I can narrow it down, because I don't always have an hour and a half with people. And at that point, I think you said you might have been what you called vegetarian for a few weeks, and you were considering humane meat as being okay? Or?
Yes, actually my mom told me, oh, I've heard about humane meat. You should look into that. And I was like, okay. And then I saw in the newspaper about the Veg Fest, and I was like, oh, it's the perfect place to find more information. So when we saw your talk, I pretty much was like a blank book. So you talked about what the animal agriculture industry is doing to our environment. I didn't know that. I had no idea how much greenhouse gases were emitted just because of animal agriculture. So that, you know, not only was it about the animals, but about the environment and then about your health. So you pretty much went over, you know, all of those three topics, and just that information alone was enough for me to understand that this was wrong, because I've always loved animals, and then, you know, those other points just really reinforced it for me.
Well, great. I'm very happy with me at the moment. And I wouldn't have known if Wayne didn't mention, you know, so that really, is gratifying. And of course now you owe me your firstborn and 10% of all, salary that you make in the future. So, and then, that led you to more action though. Now you're.
Yes. Yeah, so I got, you know, I was excited with my veganism. Me and my boyfriend were the only vegans that we knew of. And like I said, I cared for animals. So I just had kind of typed in Google, like animal activist groups in, you know, the Bay Area. And I happened to see that there was an event to see Jeffrey Masson was having a speaking event about his book, Beast. And Wayne happened to be there, and that's how I met Wayne. And he told me all about his Chipotle campaign. And I had no idea. See, I was one of the vegans, especially being new, thinking that, oh, you know, sofritas, this is a good thing. And then Wayne told me everything, and I was like, oh, okay. And I really appreciated that, because that's where my heart is, you know, in the right place. And I was glad that, you know, I heard about Direct Action Live or Direct Action Everywhere and their Chipotle campaign, because I don't want to be contributing to, you know, companies like that. But when you don't have the correct information, when you get all these, you know, the bigger companies like Chipotle saying that they're humane and all of that, I felt comfortable spending my money there. But now that I know, now I'm an informed vegan, I feel like I can make better choices. And that's why I was inspired by Wayne and his passion, and we had the same passion for animals, and the Chipotle campaign was one way that I knew I could help out. So yeah, I was very fortunate to have met, to see you speak and then meet Wayne. And that's really how I started to get into this.
Well, that's great. The animals need all the help they can get, and the message is being muddled by groups like the Humane Society of the United States, which really has put the animal rights seal of approval on so-called humane meat, and really is working to the detriment of animals, because people who would go vegan then feel that, okay, well, there is this humane meat, so the animals only have one bad day in their lives. It's all so misleading and so corrupting, and so we have to go vegan. And I think that we have Lisa Soldovini on the line also. Are you there, Lisa?
Hello?
Hi. There you are. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi. Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good. So, you know, we've been talking to Felicia Beza and Wayne Shun, and actually, well, I mean, you, you're a grassroots activist in Northern California. Also, your path crosses with Direct Action Everywhere also, doesn't it?
Right. Oh, quite a bit. We support each other, definitely.
Well, that's terrific. Now, you are involved with the campaign against this reopened slaughterhouse there, that Rancho Feeding in Petaluma, which, I mean, we celebrated the closing in February. It was shut down. This is the place, you know, that sent out 8.7 million pounds of uninspected animal flesh. The USDA basically shut the place down and said it's not safe to eat any of, and that recall happened a year earlier but was kept secret for a year, so that 8.7 million pounds of animal flesh, and which would make enough hamburger to feed everyone in New York, Tokyo, and London, went to places like Jack in the Box and Hot Pockets and all, and you know, we were just glad to see the place closed down. Unfortunately,
right.
Unfortunately, it reopened, and it's in your neighborhood. So tell us about what you're doing there, and you know the world needed more killing, didn't it? You know, it was so nice when it was closed, but you know the world
it
needs
really
more
was.
Misery
it
and
was,
and
it was
killer
like a cloud lifted off of Petaluma, this dark cloud. You know, Petaluma it's got two slaughterhouses. It has a poultry slaughterhouse also, and also a livestock yard. So you know, we've got a hard fight here just in this town with all that. So, so the USDA did close it down. We were all celebrating. And the next thing we knew, David Evans of Marin Sun Farms of, I believe it's Inverness, bought it in conjunction with some other sustainable, quote, humane farmers. And they had their opening day on April 7th. So two of my friends, Kim Flattery and Deborah Klassen, and I, just a couple days before the reopening, decided we wanted to do something to bring attention to this. And so we organized a protest. And we thought, since it was on a Monday and it was early in the morning, we weren't going to get many people. But we sent out a press release, and we wound up getting 30 activists there. Some came from Sacramento, San Francisco. Wayne came up with some of his people, Oakland, and we wound up having 30 people out there. And we had signs and bloody aprons, and we had Channel 2, Channel 5, Channel 7. We had the Press Democrat, the Point Reyes Light, and the Argus Courier, which is the local paper. So we made it on all the news channels, the major news channels, and in all the newspapers.
Wow.
So that was good. Brought a lot of attention to it, and we plan on visiting them again.
Well, Marin Sun Farm should take a lesson from Chipotle, and you know, when there's a protest coming, they should shut down. You know, and,
We're working on it. You know, and Wayne and I are going to be talking, I think, more about that.
Marin I'm Sun also... Farms. By the way, doesn't that sound cheerful? Marin Sun Farms.
Oh, it does. That's just it. David Evans was interviewed by KQED, and I listened to the whole interview. It was an hour long. And he touts that they're local, you know, that they're sustainable and humane. And he also touts that they're going to be adding another two kind of species that they're going to be murdering there, which are lambs and goats. And, you know, it's all about money, of course.
It should be Marin Blood Farms. I think it's a more appropriate name. And I know they're so excited about the services they're offering, from murder to the cutting and wrapping of body parts, distribution of the murder victims. And
well, Marin Sun Farms, David Evans also has a butcher shop out in Point Reyes, and he also has one down in San Francisco. So he's heavily into the business of murdering animals. So.
Mm-hmm. And so that's Rancho Veal Slaughterhouse is now Marin Sun Farms at 1522 Petaluma
Sounds
Boulevard
great.
North there. So,
right.
Yeah. And then I think you also are organizing against a butcher shop there too, yes?
Right. There's a new small upscale, quote-unquote, butcher shop called Thistle Meats downtown in Petaluma, right on Petaluma Boulevard. And when I saw that, I organized a protest there on their opening day. And we had about five or six people there, and it was good. We had a lot of good conversations. You know, the police came out. They called the police on us, and the police were really nice. And
Lisa, we need to take a break, so we'll talk for a few more minutes after our break. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. Please go to WorldVeganSummit.com/donate. See what we're working on putting together. It's GoVeganRadio.com. With Bob Linden, GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter, at GoVeganRadio, and Daisy is looking at me like, it's time for a walk. We took a walk right before the show started. Oh, that's right. You ate beets. I know. Okay. Well, anyway, just wait till after Professor Francione, Daisy, okay? Please. We're still looking for homes for Virginia Handley's dogs, Virginia, who passed away a few weeks ago. And looks like I will be a foster guardian this week. And if you can help out in the Bay Area with Roger or Pepe, email me. It's bob@goveganradio.com. This is Virginia, who, you know, is responsible for getting the animals out of the science fairs and in California schools and getting emergency treatment for stray animals and lost and found lists at shelters and expanded shelter operations. And now we need to find homes, permanent homes for the dogs she left behind, sadly. So it's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and we're talking to Linda Saldivini, who's a grassroots activist in Northern California, who has been organizing protests against the reopening of what was that Rancho Veal Slaughterhouse, now Marin Sun Farms, where the killing is sunny. It's sunny, happy, cheerful meat. And also, Lisa, you are protesting against a butcher shop there. And what butcher shop and what's the reason for picking that one?
Well, it's a new butcher shop, and it's called an artisan butcher shop, upscale. And again, they tout, you know, the new buzzwords now for this is local, sustainable, humane. As we all know, you know, there is no humane slaughter, and
there's no sustainable meat either, considering the resources,
right,
just in water,
right,
alone. And I've seen studies that say you're better off eating vegan food from across the world than local animal products.
Exactly. Yeah. They just the amount of water they use, you know, for animals. But this butcher shop, I feel that These are marketing terms now to get the public to continue eating animal flesh, and people know about factory farms because it's been in the mainstream now for a while. And not that we're going to stop campaigning against that, but I think it's real important to start campaigning against these the smaller ones that are touting that they're local. And
family farms are just as bad. Isn't this one of those places that's jumping on that Humane Society of the United States trend of eating more of the animal, eating body parts?
Yes, they advertise that they're a whole animal butcher shop, which means they use every part of the animal. I'm sure the animal appreciates that. So this is why I want to target them and bring attention to the fact that these terms are just marketing terms and they're buzzwords to get the public to continue to eat meat.
How can people join you in your causes there?
Well, I can give you my email or, you know, however I would. That's what I do is I collect email addresses, and that's how I get people to come to the protests, so many people to come to the protests. And I also put up vegan billboards, and that's another way I do that is my email list. So if you want to give out my email address and they want to contact me, that would be
Please do.
Would be great.
Do it now.
Okay. It's Sun Girl, just like Sun and Girl, and it's 590@AOL.com.
SunGirl590 at AOL.com. Yeah, I was horrified a few weeks ago. I saw at an HSUS event that they were pushing these books talking about eating animals from nose to tail. I mean, they're, you know,
right.
If we eat more of the body parts from the same animals, we wouldn't have to kill other animals or some weird logic that escapes me. Thanks for being with us today, Lisa.
And thanks
Felicia.
For having me on, Bob.
Thank you, Felicia and Wayne. Thank you so much for all you're doing. It's Go Vegan Radio, goveganradio.com. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and who knows why, but there are two other Bob Linden pages, and just, you know, the convenience of computers, I now do everything like in triplicate. I was talking a little earlier that we are organizing the World Vegan Summit and Expo, the target date of March 20th to the 22nd of 2015, just so that we can focus our advocacy and activism on helping people go vegan and not go humane meat. And I'm doing this in cooperation with Professor Gary Francione, who would be one of the notable speakers there. We also have Will Tuttle and Antenna Roba, Milton Mills, Vaidya Priyanka, Richard Openlander, Wayne Shun, who say, hey, if we can make this happen, we want to be there, we want to speak. And right now we're attempting our grassroots effort at raising $7,500 for the for the deposit on the venue, the beautiful Marina Del Rey Marriott Hotel, which really is looking forward to hosting the event. I thanked a number of people before who got the donation situation rolling at worldvegansummit.com/donate. I also just want to thank John G. of Jonesboro, Arkansas, and Mary O. of Mount Vernon, New York, Don F. from Mulberry, Florida, Jake L. of Powder Springs, Georgia, and Barb L. of Eugene, Oregon, for donating to the cause. And I really want to express appreciation to Vegetarian House Vegan Restaurant in San Jose, California, for committing to $1,000 toward raising the initial $7,500. We're going to have to raise a lot more. there's another excuse to go eat at a vegetarian house, 100% vegan, organic, food is delicious. Check out the menu at vegetarianhouse.us, 520 East Santa Clara Street, and available for catering in the Bay Area. Check out the menu. You'll see, you know, we sacrifice nothing as vegans, especially we don't sacrifice animals, but, you know, our food is the best, and Vegetarian House is a prime example of that. And they get it, and they want to give us $1,000 toward creating the World Vegan Summit. So again, it's worldvegansummit.com/donate. If I just had Professor Gary Francione's 50,000 followers on Facebook, you know, giving 25 cents or 50 cents or a dollar each, we'd cover it all and really have ourselves a blast and change the world. So could you squeeze everyone for that, Professor Francione?
First of all, Bob, it's 53,504. So,
oh, excuse me. So, yeah, so only give us 23 cents.
a little bit of accuracy there.
Forgive me.
Yes, I'll be. Have we got? You know, you had sent me that site, but then you said you weren't happy with the picture. Do we have?
It's all set. It's all ready. It's all ready. It's happening. Send people there immediately, if not sooner. And yeah, so it's there. It's happening.
Okay,
so.
I will put it up on the page. You know, you mentioned this before I tell you this great idea I have for fundraising. I wanted to tell you that we had a conference on abolition and regulation and other approaches at Rutgers on Friday, and we had a packed house, and it was just a great day. We had Will Kemlicka and Sue Donaldson from Queens in Canada. We had Gary Steiner from Bucknell. We had Sherry Kolb and Michael Dorr from Cornell. We had David Nyberg from Wittenberg, and Anna and me from Rutgers. And it was really very interesting, Bob, because we had, as I said, we had a full house, and we were talking about abolition, about regulation, and about the citizenship model that is proposed by Will and Sue in Zoopolis. And it was really interesting. Most of the people there were vegans, and most of them were supporters of regulation, or of abolition, rather. And it was just fabulous. And it's clear, Bob, it's an idea whose time has come. On Thursday night, I'll be speaking at the Museum of Modern Art in Manhattan, and that has sold out. So I think people are really interested in this, and I think it's going to be. I think the conference that we're planning is going to be great. And now I want to talk a little bit about how we should fundraise. You know, you can learn, Bob. You can disagree with the welfarists, but you can learn from them. And I see that the animal rights, so-called Animal Rights 2014 National Conference, is announcing that for $5,000, if an organization donates $5,000, they get 10 full registrations and banquet tickets with VIP sitting, a welcoming slot at the opening plenary, so you get to address everybody at the opening plenary. You get placement of up to 3 qualified speakers in appropriate sessions, and 1 qualified speaker in a daytime panel arranged by you. So you get to put speakers there, you get to welcome everybody, and you get to design a panel and put a speaker on it. And you get all this promotion. They'll promote you throughout the 2014 website, listing on all promotional materials, full page color ad, promotion on the social networking sites and newsletters, etc., etc. So you get branding, you get a brand advertisement, and you get speakers, and you get to address everybody in the plenary session for $5,000. Bob, I think this is brilliant. I think this is what we need to do. That if somebody donates $5,000, they get to deliver whatever message they want to those people. Obviously, we aren't going to do that, but I was outraged when I saw that.
Well, for $10,000, I'll name the summit after that person. You know, we'll we'll name it you.
Look, it's we both know that the the movement at the level of the bloated corporate charities sold out years ago. We know that. You and I have known that for a long time now. The difference is they're not even trying to hide it anymore. And it's really just stunning to me. It's stunning to me. This is it's got nothing to do with helping animals. It has to do with branding, and it has to do with getting your speakers there and promoting your organization. It's just so overtly commercialized and so overtly having nothing to do with helping animals. It is just breathtaking. You know, they have other, and now for those of you who can't afford $5,000, you can have a silver sponsorship. That was just gold. You can have a silver sponsorship for $3,000, and that gets you 5 full registrations and banquet tickets at VIP with the VIP sitting. You don't get to address the plenary, Bob, but you get a placement of 2 qualified speakers in appropriate sessions or 1 qualified speaker in a daytime panel arranged by you. So you either get to arrange a panel and then stick a speaker on it, or you get 2 qualified speakers. No plenary positioning, but you also get branding. So, you know, it's for those who can't afford, you know, who can't afford the $5,000 pop.
I bet if I came up with $5,000, they'd still ban me, though.
Well, yes, because they would claim that you are not a, quote, you are not a qualified speaker. You are not qualified. A qualified speaker is one who toes the party line, which is basically regulation, happy exploitation, and making the public feel good about continuing to consume animal products.
Well, but do you see who the gold sponsors are? Did you notice?
Yeah. There was, when I got this email, I think it was
Farm.
Here we go. Join Farm. In Defense of Animals, Mercy for Animals, and PETA, and all your favorite groups. Let me see. This year's gold sponsors are Farm. They're the organizer, so I guess they contribute $5,000 to themselves. In Defense of Animals, Mercy for Animals, and People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, so far. I mean, I suspect there'll be other ones.
I think
ones.
Compassion Over Killing also? Isn't that?
I'm sorry?
I thought Compassion Over Killing was one.
No, I don't. See, no. They are. Oh, they're just silver, Bob. They're silver. They're joined by our silver sponsors, Compassion Over Killing, International Primate Protection League, Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, Tofurky, Veganuary. How do you pronounce it? Veganuary?
Veganuary, I guess.
Yes, Veg Fund and Veg News. And they're the silver sponsors. And then, you know, I don't know if they have a poverty package here. I don't know. Let's see. But there's a bronze sponsorship practice. You just get, that's just branding.
To hold an index card in the hallway with your
exactly. No, that's prominent link throughout the website listing and some printed promotion materials, quarter page ad in the program journal, one time exhibit table, 2 full registration and banquet tickets, but you don't get VIP sitting for $1,000, no siree. And you get a tag on Farm's Twitter and a tag on Farm's Facebook fan page. That's obviously.
Do you think that this is like, I mean, maybe people don't pay to speak really and they get to speak there anyway, but is it like the appearance of impropriety, like too much influence on editorial content at something like this?
Well, obviously there's something very wrong here, and particularly since, you know, the people who fund this thing are oftentimes, or at least, at times the people who get elected to their Hall of Fame and all of these bogus honors that they bestow. But look, as I say, we both know that the movement's been selling out for a long time, and they're not even trying to pretend anymore. It's about money. It's about business. And it has nothing to do. We're not talking about helping the animals. I mean, as a matter of fact, it was made very clear to me. People have asked me if I'm going to be at this conference in July. And the answer is no, for two reasons. A, I haven't been invited. And B, I wouldn't go I simply wouldn't go. It is not a venue for any sort of discussion or promotion of justice for animals. It is a trade show for all of the large bloated corporate charities who are partners with institutional animal exploiters who are promoting the idea of happy exploitation, who are promoting the idea that there's a compassionate way to exploit animals, and are promoting the idea that people can continue to consume and pat themselves on the back by telling themselves that they're compassionate. That is what this conference is about.
We need to take our break right now. We'll continue with Professor Gary Francione on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. The website is goveganradio.com. Again, please donate. Go to worldvegansummit.com/donate. worldvegansummit.com/donate. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, on Twitter, at Go Vegan Radio. Hey, I'll be speaking this coming Saturday at Earth Day San Francisco at 2:45 in the Speaker Dome. You know, like I get in trouble talking about all these, supposed animal rights groups. Okay, well, the featured speaker is Bill McKibben of 350.org, who's a meat eater, and you know, all everybody's doing this, so divest and, sing songs and go to Poland and walk out, and I'm going to be the one there saying, wait a second, you're all wasting your time. You have to go vegan. 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions caused by animal agriculture. Oh, I don't – will they let me to the microphone? I better bring my megaphone, you know. Professor Francione, I'm always in trouble. I'm always – I'm in trouble again. I can see it, you know. So.
Bob, if you're not in trouble, you're not doing the right thing. I'm on your website, and I'm looking for the link to the conference so that I can put it on to inform the 53,000 plus people.
53,000. worldvegansummit.com/donate.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for that. But, you know, look, going back to this, I think folks just have to, those people who are thinking about going to this so-called animal rights conference in July, it's a waste of time and a waste of money. And as far as I'm concerned, it has nothing to do with anything that if you're serious about animals and if you believe in justice for animals, then you've got no business being there. And so, to answer the question that I have gotten asked many times, indeed about seven times today, but every day I'm getting these inquiries about whether or not I'm speaking at this conference, and the answer is I would not even think about doing that. You know, I think I told you, Bob, that after I spoke at the conference last year, I got an email from the organizers of the conference that they had decided that there would be no more discussion of the rights welfare issue because they just thought it was just not productive. Yes, I guess it's just not productive to talk about the primary issue right now, the fact that challenge that is being opposed right now by the fact that all of the corporate charities are promoting one form or another of happy exploitation, and that none of them is promoting veganism as a moral baseline. That is the challenge of animal ethics right now. That's it.
They're running from the word. So
well,
major,
that's right.
Sponsor.
They're running from. And the other thing they're trying to do is they're trying to all claim that they're abolitionists. Everybody's an abolitionist now, including the people who believe in happy exploitation and welfare regulation, because welfare regulation and happy exploitation are in their view a means to the end of abolition. But what abolition is explicitly excludes that. That's what it means to be an abolitionist. It's not just something that talks about the end that you want, but it prescribes the means to the end. And the means to the end excludes promoting regulation, excludes promoting any sort of happy exploitation, and prescribes promoting veganism using creative, nonviolent means of promoting veganism. And that's the practical strategy that we're proposing. and to say that, well, we're all abolitionists because we want to see an end of it is like saying, well, anybody who wants world peace, even those people who want to use war to get to world peace, are really the same as, you know, that they're peaceniks too. And the answer is no, sorry, they're not. And, you know, just as in the 1990s, Bob, we saw that, you know, the animal rights idea emerged, and then all the welfare said, well, we're in favor of animal rights as well. We just think we ought to use animal welfare to get to the animal rights conclusion. And I said then, nope. That's what I called new welfareism, the idea that we could use welfare reform to get to the rights position. And they're doing the same thing with abolition. They're trying to appropriate abolition in the same way. But, you know, let them do what they want to do. I think it's just time, and I think it's becoming clear that it's time to put those bloated corporate charities aside. They're doing something very different from what we're trying to do. And I think we just have to sort of keep our heads down and move ahead. And I think this World Summit is a great step in the right direction. And I hope people will support it. And as soon as I get off the phone with you, I'm going to make sure that I tell the
53,000 plus
about it.
It's worldveganSummit.com/donate. WorldVeganSummit.com/donate. Okay, let's get that money and make this happen. Let's all get together and abolish the use of animals for food, clothing, experimentation, and entertainment. Talk to you next week, Professor Francione.
Thank you, Bob.